Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Bennett, and each week we explore a different aspect of the unknown. It's UFOs, out-of-body experiences, ghosts, past lives. This is the kind of stuff we talk about. And tonight, I have a very exciting guest. His name is John Magnus, and he is the author of a new book called Astral Projection and the Nature of Reality, which has just been released by Hampton Roads Publishing Company. Now, before I introduce my guest, let me just give you a little bit of UFO news. There's all sorts of sightings going on all across the world. There's been a real big increase in UFO activity for some reason. We've had recent sightings in the past month in Hawaii, also in Virginia, along the coast of the Atlantic there. We've had sightings in England. There's been sightings in Phoenix, Arizona. Just a huge number of sightings. A recent sighting that I want to talk about tonight occurred on February 17th, just last month, and took place in New York City, of all places, right downtown. The witnesses were about 50 people at a party in a high-rise building, actually, who looked out over the city. This was in the heart of New York City, and saw three lights hovering in the sky. And they were in a triangular formation. They were hovering in place and then blinked out one after another after about 15 minutes. Now, the partygoers did admit that they were drinking alcohol, but there was a lot of witnesses there who also saw it. So I don't know what this is, but it's just goes to show this activity is not going to go away. Another recent sighting occurred on the very tip of Africa, at the Cape there, where some people were actually going there to look at the penguins, which come up on the shore there, when they saw a very large saucer-shaped object. The penguins apparently saw it first and all dived into the water, and this is what made the people notice this saucer-shaped craft that was hovering in the air. So, pretty interesting stuff, but let's get to the show tonight because we're a little bit late, and I'm just really excited about our guest because out-of-body experiences is really one of my favorite subjects. I actually wrote a book about out-of-body exploring myself, as anyone who's listened to this show for any period of time knows. So I'm really, really into this subject. And our guest, again, is John Magnus. That's M-A-G-N-U-S, and he's written this book called Astral Projection and the Nature of Reality, which I've read, and it's amazing. Now, the out-of-body experience is one of the most common paranormal experiences, and most people, I think, report at least one astral projection-type event in their lives. And the truth is, according to the experts, everybody goes out of their body every night. They just don't remember. However, anybody can travel out of their body consciously if they just take the time to learn how to do it. Now, our guest, John Magnus, became interested in out-of-body experiences seemingly out of the blue. He read about near-death experiences first, and then out-of-body travel. And intrigued, he began to practice these techniques as outlined in the literature. And after about 2 months of doing these exercises, he began to have powerful and dramatic out-of-body experiences. And what started out as a fun little experiment ended up altering the course of his life. Now, his book, Astral Projection and the Nature of Reality, recounts his own personal experiences with astral projection. The book starts with a brief history of the subject and then guides the reader through a very easy-to-follow, step-by-step course for reliable projections. And Magnus explains how, once we are actually out of our body, we create our own astral world, which I can't wait to hear more about because, boy, I found that to be true. So he offers all sorts of techniques for understanding our mind and the nature of reality. And this really has the potential to completely transform your life. Now, John Magnus is a technical writer. He's a software engineer and a musician. However, his great passion is interdimensional travel, at which he is becoming increasingly proficient. He currently resides in Boise, Idaho, with his wife and several pets, and currently gives workshops on astral projection and related subjects. So, John, thank you for coming to the show tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm really, really excited. I mean, when I found out your book was going to be published, I pre-ordered it and read it in one sitting and found it to be very, very, very exciting and pretty much exactly what I was hoping it would be. So how did you get started in astral projection? I mean, it's a wild subject for a lot of people.
Well, thank you for those kind words.
No, you're welcome. I guess,
like you said earlier, it hit me like out of the blue. And that was mostly, I was just surfing around the internet and then I found these near-death experiences and I got interested. And well, particularly the common streaks in those experiences. How could it be that so many people who have died and come back, that how can it be that they report so similar events? So I thought there must be something to it, and I thought maybe I can experience something myself like that. And but I wasn't too thrilled about having to die first, so.
Right.
I came upon astral projection, and I tried a few, like a couple of months with energy exercises and some techniques, and finally I just popped out, so to speak.
What were some of the techniques that you used?
I did the rope technique. I think that's Monroe, is it? Or is it Bruce?
Right.
A dropping technique where you you lie there in bed and you just as you breathe out, you pretend that you drop down through the mattress. And anyway, it occurred to me that it really didn't matter what technique you used. The timing was more important. And I found that by accident when I did some energy raising exercises, I happened to fall asleep. And when I woke up, my body was all overheated, so I threw off the sheets and I tried to cool off and I wanted to go back to sleep. Well, what happened then is just as in that friction of a second between awake and asleep, there was something went wrong, and I just found myself rushing down. It was like I was being crammed through a tube or something, and I ended up in this weird place. It was a classroom, and it was like some sort of astral learning center or something. I haven't really put my finger on what that was, but it was really interesting, and it was my first experience. And also, it was sincerely terrifying.
Yeah, when I first started out, it was really scary.
Yeah.
So it was scary for you the first time then too.
Oh yeah, and boy, the other night, the second night after my first experience, I wanted to do it again because I'm kind of like that. I want to get back on the horse right away.
Right.
And I got this intense pain in my stomach, and I couldn't figure out what it was. But after a while, I figured out that this was just like some psychic effect. Like my subconscious was telling me, don't you try to do this stuff again, because that was scary last time. And I had to talk my subconscious out of it, just to, to let him know that I do want more of these experiences. So you have to be careful. You have to watch out for fears like that, because those can really mess you up both physically and mentally.
Right, right. Well, I found once I popped out of body, I would be faced with all my fears, And you're kind of put in situations to overcome your fear.
Yeah.
And I noticed that was true with you in some of your cases.
Yeah, like a testing lab, some learning arena, maybe. Some sort of virtual reality where everything you're scared of is thrown right at you.
Right. So, how old were you when this started happening to you?
I was in my early 20s.
Yeah, pretty young. That's what was true for me too. I was like 20 years old, I think, or 21.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the, so did you have any psychic experiences or any belief in this sort of thing before all this?
My interest in the metaphysics started when I found those near-death experiences, and that was only a couple of months before I started practicing astral projection. So it wasn't something that had existed throughout my childhood. I was more of a down-to-earth person with a outlook on life that, you know, when you're dead, you're dead, and there's nothing really beyond what you can see or touch and smell and feel.
Right. That's the way I was.
Yeah. It's funny how these experiences changes a person. Because I'm definitely not the same person I was back then.
Oh,
and I think that's true with you, too.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. Change for the better, I think. Definitely. So, what were some of your... What did you start doing after you learned how to go out of body? What were some of the first things you wanted to find out? I was always obsessed with trying to move objects, which is not something I've ever been able to do. But I tried that so many times and just couldn't do it. And after that, I would just try and explore the physical world. So, what did you do?
I was, first of course, I enjoyed the freedom. But then I started to get really disturbed to the fact that everything seemed to be like fluent and ever-changing. From what I've read in literature, I thought that you leave your body and you float around in the physical. But there are a lot of items, furniture, windows that just move around and they just don't appear in the place where they should be. Or
right.
Maybe you left them the night before. So I started to try to figure out why that was. And I found that... probably like you have found that the mind creates all these things, moves things around.
Right, it's kind of a shock. I mean, you find out that actual physical reality is probably made up of our own mind, basically. Not only the astral plane, but...
I had a question posed to me the other day, and this person wanted to know what the difference between lucid dreaming and astral projection was, and he proposed that maybe astral projection is just a really aware kind or type of lucid dreaming. And I said, well, that may very well be, but it may also be that waking physical reality is a very lucid dream as well.
Right. Well, what's your opinion then of the difference between the two?
I think you can trace both of them back to the same mechanics within the mind, I think. And it's mostly, my opinion, of course, mostly the perception of the experiencer. For example, if you're dreaming and you become lucid, then you would interpret the situation as a lucid dream. If you were awake and roll out of your body and become sort of lucid in that manner, then there's no dream, so you would interpret the situation as an astral projection. Maybe the same experience. The only thing that differs is the dream production.
Right. Well, I've actually... projected out of body from a lucid dream a couple of times as well. So I think there is definitely a difference.
Yeah.
But so what are some of your have you had any really scary projections or ones that you wish you didn't have?
Well, even the scary ones have something to offer us, I think.
Right.
You learn from them. It's just what makes them scary, I think, is the state of mind you're in before you leave your body. So if you wake up from a scary dream and you're kind of upset and not as calm as you would want to be before you leave your body, and then you roll out of your body, then you might have this fear. This fear might follow you, and you just have that nauseating emotion of fear or in the pit of your stomach. And that fear, I think, is not, the fear isn't created by things you meet in the astral. I think you create from the fear, you create what you encounter in the astral. So it's really important that you remove these fears before you roll out of your body.
Right, right. I've never had any really scary experiences myself, or really anytime I've encountered anything unpleasant, I just remind myself that I'm out of body and nothing can hurt me.
Yeah.
And that seems to have worked.
Yeah, that's great.
So have you ever met people who are deceased while you're out of body?
I've met some people. I don't really know how to tell whether they're deceased. Maybe you have some tips up there. I just see them as people. I can't really make the distinction. But they do seem, some seem to have a mind of their own, so to speak. And some people seem to be reflections of my own subconscious mind, sort of like dream characters.
Right, right.
Have you met any deceased ones?
Oh yeah, I've met several people who like my mother, who's deceased, and other people. But I could always tell that if someone was a real person, just by the quality of their presence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, because if it's a dream character, you kind of, they just don't act or behave quite like a real person.
Right. And if you walk up to them and say, this is a dream, they're not gonna believe you because it's a dream character, right?
Right.
Yeah.
They'll try to convince you, in fact, that you're awake.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. So do you have a website where people can go and learn more about your books and your research?
Sure. I have a website at johnmagnus.com. That's maybe difficult to spell. JohnMagnus.com.
Okay, let me just repeat that. That's johnmagnus.com. JohnMagnus. One word, right?
Yep, one word. And okay. There's a discussion board that, I try to, go there every day and see what discussion's going on and see if I can share my opinions.
Oh, good. So people can actually write to you and ask you questions about stuff.
Oh, yeah, certainly.
All right. And people who want to order the book, I have a number here, which is actually should only be called during business hours. It's 1-800-766-8009. That's 1-800-766-8009. You're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. Our guest tonight is John Magnus, and we're talking about his book, Astral Projection and the Nature of Reality. Now, what inspired you to write this book? I mean, a lot of people are having these experiences but don't want to tell anybody.
Oh, it's funny. It's like all these experiences have been leading up to something.
Right.
And it's like I've been guided to write this book, and I didn't even realize it until I woke up one morning and I had this. It was like I had downloaded this outline of the book while I was sleeping, so I just got up, turn on the computer, and then I sat there just typing out the ideas and the drafting an outline and all that throughout the
day.
Isn't
that interesting? So the book is already outlined. See, I wonder if you're out there out of your body already writing the book, and all these books and stuff are in a sense already written. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Like, it's already prepared and just waiting to be delivered.
Exactly. So have having all these out-of-body experiences, has that changed the way you perceive reality and the waking life? And by that I mean premonitions and psychic experiences? Because, boy, it did for me.
Yeah. I had, when I was really working on my astral projections, I did energy exercises, and I don't know what the contributing factor was, but I started to develop these skills, if you want to call them that, like clairvoyance and intuition, and that was really neat.
No, isn't it? It's fun.
Yeah.
So what were some of your experiences?
Oh, just basic everyday stuff, like I was heating up some spaghetti one day and in the microwave, and I thought, well, I'm going to drop this plate. The food's going to fall on the floor. And I thought to myself, you know, the rational part of me told myself, like, no, it's not. What am I talking about? I never drop anything. So I take the plate out of the oven, and I walk over to the table, and what happens? Well, the plate cracks, right? I don't know what happened in the microwave, but something must have affected the plate somehow, and it cracks in two, and I'm holding two shards of the plate, and the food is on the floor. I am so disappointed, because I really like spaghetti. Because I didn't listen to my intuition.
Exactly. No, I had a dream one morning that I was going to get a parking ticket, and I, sure enough, I got it, and I don't know why I didn't pay attention. But so most of these come as like waking visions for you. What about like dreams? Do you have dreams which come true?
Yeah, all the time. It's more like deja vu. Sometimes I'm sitting in meetings, and people would say something, and I would recognize it, and it would be a sincere deja vu feeling. And I can't really tell whether that, if I had dreamt that, or if I had, planned that event on a soul level or something. But I do recognize things like, this isn't the first time I've done this, and that may be because I've dreamt it. Not
right.
Exactly sure how that works.
I'm thinking, this is my theory. I'm thinking that we go out of body and we're going into the upper planes where time is kind of collapsed and it runs more quickly and we have access to the future. I'm thinking that we actually experience the future before, and then we bring it back as a dream and we remember it like through the mechanism of deja vu.
Yeah. I completely agree. That there are like multiple levels of us, and what happens in the astral, on our soul level, if you want to call it that, trickles down into our dreaming unconscious mind, and we start to dream what we are experiencing on another level. So, if we're learning something in an astral educational center, we might be dreaming about our old high school or something like that.
Right. Right. So, do you have any like major themes in your is there one major thing that you usually do when you go out of body, or is it always different?
I have a couple of techniques that I do to prolong the experience and also to put my mind in a better state.
Right.
Make it a more positive experience, because the state of the mind is always the cause of the experience. So if you're fearful and you get scared out there, if you're happy, then well, there are going to be flowers and butterflies and all that. So what I do is right after I roll out, I float down to the floor and I sit. I close my eyes, I put my hands together, I focus on my chest, and I just relax and breathe calmly. And this it calms you down, or it balances the mind, so that you'll be more of an observer, and you'll be able to better tackle the whole unknown experience you're having. So that prolongs the experience, the projection, by balancing the mind. And also, when the mind is balanced, you'll have a lot more positive experiences. In fact, if you sit down and meditate in the astral, the surroundings will change because your mind has changed, and they'll be more colorful and vibrant. It'll be like
right.
Being taken to a higher level.
Right. It's funny. I always get so excited when I get out of body. I never have the patience to meditate. But I have noticed that, you know, if I shout out a command or whatever I think will kind of manifest in some way or another. And I had to laugh really hard. I was reading your book, and you mentioned Ramtha. And it's funny because I once popped out of body and I called for Ramtha because I wanted to see him. And I called him out over and over and over. He never came. But you had a similar experience.
Yeah.
But he actually came for you. I mean, you actually sensed his presence.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what happened. It was like I was awake, and then all of a sudden there was something moving in, taking over my body, and I just let that happen. Previously, I had called out for Ramtha because I was so impressed by, you know, this book I read called Ramtha, I think it's called Ramtha. Yeah. Anyway, so I thought I wanted to speak with him, but he came in and started to take over the body, and I was like facing out, and I moved into this dream, and it seemed like what happened in the dream was some sort of reflection of what Ramtha was doing in my body. So it was like I was viewing Ramtha through this dream interpretation, and he walked around, and I started I was being dragged like on my back in the dream, and I was like, "Oh, this is fun!" And the floor, and yeah. And then he started. He wanted to talk to people, but I can only assume that there was nobody there to talk to, so he got bored and he left.
Well, it's so interesting. You know what I found fascinating about a lot of your experiences that you had. I mean, your spirit guides were there talking to you. For me, I was almost always alone, or at least I couldn't sense my spirit guides. But there was one that you wrote about, an experience you had on March 13th, 2002, where you were telling your spirit guide, Goldie, you said, "I want to see everything around me. I want to see the whole of creation." And she gave this really interesting answer, which I'll just quote it because I think it's really cool. She said, "One cannot see it all because it is infinitely recursive, just like a proton is part of an atom, which in turn is part of a molecule. So is the creation structured. The universe is part of something bigger, which is part of something even bigger, and so on into eternity. The physical world is part of the spirit world. The spirit world is also infinitely recursive." Now, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So you got that.
I'm sorry?
You got that right out of an out-of-body experience. That's astonishing to me.
Yeah. Yeah. it's kind of amazing when you manage to remember what's been said and in those altered states.
Right.
And it's more like those aren't actually words. They're more like impressions or boxes of knowledge that are handed to you in a sort of telepathic communication manner. Yeah, I can't really explain it, but, you know, we don't have to speak to each other.
Right, no, I know exactly what you're saying. It's just like a sudden knowing and understanding. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
So, have you ever, what do you think about out-of-body, or past lives? Have you ever explored that? Do you have any with your out-of-body experiences, I mean?
I've had a few. I haven't really researched past lives. I would like to do some hypnotic regression, but you know, one is always afraid of what one might dig up that's supposed to be hidden. And
well, what I would do is when I'd pop out of body, I'd shout out, "I want to see a past life," and it would, and I would be taken to usually a very traumatic scene in a past life, like the death scene or something really major and profound. So I think the out-of-body experience can be used for that kind of thing as well.
I'm going to try that tonight. take me to a previous life?
Yeah, just shout out, "I want to see a past life." And then, you know what's another really exciting thing to do is just shout out to your guides or to your higher self, "Take me where I need to go, where you think I need to go." And I think there's all sorts of things you can do with the out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
So why don't you explain to people how they can, you know, start to have these kinds of experiences? Because that's what's really neat about your book, too, is a lot of books just sort of gloss over and make it sound so easy. But you really get into it, which is nice.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
how can the average person start, would you say?
What I do in this book is I make use of the sleep state. When I started out, I exercised at night. Just right before I fell asleep, I would relax my body and mind and then go into the famous, what's it called, Focus 10. Anyway, I stopped doing that because it takes a lot of effort just to put your body to sleep and keep your mind awake. So what I do is I go to sleep as I usually do, and then I would just visualize something in my mind, just pretend to be somewhere. I like to be out in nature, so I visualize walking around in nature, touching the trees. You have to touch a lot because that, you know, kind of engulfs the mind. I don't know what it is with these tactile senses, but they seem to really be riveting for the mind. So you try to get it engrossed as possible in your visualization, and you just forget about the body and let it fall asleep. What's going to happen is you'll eventually lapse into unconsciousness, which is not a bad thing, because that when you wake up, your body will be so rested, not rested, but it will be so eager to go back to sleep, hopefully, unless you're my wife and you can't get back to sleep after you wake up. Anyway, I digress. When you wake up in the middle of the night, since you've been asleep for a few hours, you'll want to go back to sleep. And the body wants to go back to sleep, and the soul, if there's such a thing, or your awareness wants to be released from the body again and go out into the astral. I'm assuming here that we all astral project when the body sleeps. So it too wants to return to the astral realm. So it doesn't take much effort, except you have to remain awake, or remain mentally aware as the body falls asleep. And what I do is I visualize again. Could be the same visualization, could be something different. But what this second visualization is going to do is trick the subconscious mind into believing that the awareness has already lapsed into unconsciousness and is now dreaming. It'll take the visualization as a dream. So it'll put the body to sleep because, well, the body won't go to sleep unless it's safe, and it's only safe after the awareness has lapsed into unconsciousness. So, but you're not really unconscious, are you? Because you're visualizing. So the body
right.
Falls asleep, and if everything works okay, it'll be like the body just falls away. And if it doesn't fall away, then you can always roll out. And what's so the key ingredient here is, or two key ingredients are sleep and visualization. And the visualization has to be something fun, something you want to do for hours. You know, maybe you want to, you can visualize yourself rolling in a pile of dollar bills or something like that, or hanging out in your pool that you have only in your mind.
Right.
Or having a fancy car, something like that, something that's really fun. So that's my that's basically the technique I use.
So for me, I would say at least half of my projections begin when I'm already out of body. I mean, that's I wake up and I find myself out of body. And a smaller portion occur when I'm fully awake and have and consciously project from an awake state. Is that true for you? You know what I mean?
Sometimes. Yeah, you sort of like you're awake and then you just you gain lucidity in the night.
Well, it's like I'll be lying there in bed doing the exercises and I never actually fall asleep. I maintain consciousness. And I go right out of body without actually falling asleep.
Ah, yes.
And other times, other times I'll find myself out of body already. I'll notice some incongruity in a dream, something bizarre that makes me realize I'm dreaming, and then I'll wake up and pop out of body. So I'm just wondering, if does that happen to you, or do you consciously project from an awake state?
It probably happens 50-50.
Right.
Going out of body before I have had a few hours of sleep is really difficult for me. I have to put so much effort to it that it's not productive for me. I'll spend the rest of the week trying to boost up my energy again. And lots of times I'll be dreaming strange things, and usually I'm walking down a street in my hometown, and I'll recognize that as a trigger because it's not possible to be doing that because
right.
It's so far away. So then I'll start questioning the dream, and if I'm lucky, you're probably a lot better than me at this. If I'm lucky, I'll start to gain some lucidity. And most of the time, I just say in the back of my head that, you know, this is a dream, but I'm not going to do anything about it. It's like, I think what it is my rational mind is offline, so to speak, and it can't make judgments to whether I do want to dream or if I want to become lucid. So it just, I just make the choice to continue the dream, which is a shame.
Right. Right. So, have you been able to walk through walls, fall out of body, and levitate, and all that stuff?
Oh yeah, that was fun. That was fun in the beginning, and
right.
Now I've come to a point where the surroundings don't matter anymore. Actually, I usually tune out the surroundings because I'm more interested in states of mind and level of clarity, not in visual clarity, but in clarity of awareness. That's why I do these days. I pop out of my body and then I focus on the back of my head. Or I'm sorry, I'm not saying you have to have a head in the astral, but sort of in the back of my mind, and I meditate on a point in the back of my mind, and as I do that, I turn my focus away from the surroundings, and they sort of melt away because I don't view them as important anymore. I'm not investigating the surroundings. And then I encourage my level of awareness to become clearer and clearer. And I think that's a good way to experience yourself, because you're always one is always distracted by surroundings, and you never have the time to turn inwards and like really get to know yourself. And I think that's the price I'm after with out of body these days.
Right, right. Have you ever been able to meet anyone, any other out of body explorers who are also out of body? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I had a run in with some a couple of guys. I think were meditating. Of course, I don't have any way to prove that, even to myself. But I think they were meditating and they were kind of traveling in their minds. Other than that, I haven't seen other travelers. Have you seen anything like that?
I've tried. You know, I've met my sister-in-law a couple of times, but each time, neither of us are completely fully lucid. One or the other is, but the other, we just kind of remember it as a dream. But we've had a limited success with it, not a lot. But I keep trying. You know, it seems to me, to a certain extent, my out-of-body experiences are controlled more by my spirit guides than by me. I don't know.
I didn't catch that.
It seems to me that my out-of-body experiences are almost more controlled by my spirit guides than by me.
Yeah. I find that, let's just admit that we have a lot of obstacles. We don't know how to handle ourselves out there. So I think they have some interest in keeping us local. They don't let us travel too far. And they want to put us through this series of tests to make sure that we're ready to travel through the astral without causing too much trouble to other travelers. I think that's my theory. I think that's their motive for trying to keep us from traveling too far.
Right. So have your spirit guides, you have more than one, would you say that you've met?
I used to have about five, I think. And then a couple of them have come and gone. Goldie, and there's one I called Richard. Richard was that was a strange event, because he showed up on September 10th, 2001, and I couldn't figure out why he was there. It was like he was trying to guard my emotions or something like that. And then, of course, September 11th happened, and I realized that he was trying to protect me from all the bad blood that was going around.
All right.
And the tragedy. Now, I think I just had a new team come in. the old guys, that I think the old guys, they really helped me with the book. I give more credit to them than I would to myself. These new guys have come in, and I think they're more like muses, more like they're into music, and they really want to push the creative side of me. So that will be interesting to see what they have to offer.
All right. So what do you? This is kind of an off-related question, but what do you think of the whole UFO phenomena? Because I don't know if it's related or not, but the Air Force, after people have a UFO sighting, they'll often ask them, have they started having out-of-body experiences? And in my own experience, I don't know if they're related in my own case, but for some people they are. And I'm just very interested in the subject, and I wondered what your opinions are on it.
Yeah, I think one possible explanation is that they have whoever's piloting these things, if there is a pilot, that they have some sort of technology that allows them to transcend into the astral and other planes. I've had some sightings, some UFO sightings, and I don't know if we should go into that, but I would love to hear your opinions on them, because I'm talking with the one of the most experienced UFO investigators in the world. So.
Well, yeah. Well, what did you see?
Well.
I mean, if you don't mind.
Well, I've had about a dozen sightings, and the most impressive one was when I was living down in outside of Tucson, actually on the ranch between Tucson and Phoenix. And I do believe that's a hot spot, by the way. And I think they're still down there. So anyway, these lights would come out, orange or red lights would come out around 8 o'clock, almost every night between like December 2002 and March 2003. And we'd go out in the desert and look at them. And sometimes they would line up, and they would signal at us, like just blink in, blink out, really fast, flashing. So it was like they were signaling at us. And a couple of times these fighter jets were sent out from Tucson. And these UFOs, they just blinked out. I don't know what they did, if they cloaked or something. They had the ability to switch on and switch out and switch off somehow. So when these jets approached, they just switched off, and the jets came over, did like an eight, like they were looking for these lights, and then returned to Tucson, and then the lights came back on.
Wow.
And it was really funny. Anyway, what impressed me the most was when I walked out one day, I couldn't see any lights. But anyway, I took my binoculars and I stared at this static point in the sky, and I asked them in my mind if they would like to appear. And you know, one second later, this light just switched on right in the center of my binocular view, and it was like they were responding to my thoughts. So we had some sort of, from what I see, some sort of communication going.
Right, right.
This light, there was another light coming out, and it was pretty close. It was like probably not more than 500 yards away. And the second ball of light came out of the first one horizontally, and then a third ball came out from underneath somehow. So it turned out, I think it was some sort of triangular craft with lights on the edges, or the corners. And that was probably the most beautiful show or demonstration I've seen. When I was leaving, the next day, so I walked out in in the desert, had my binoculars as usual, and I thought to them in my head, listen, we're leaving tomorrow, and it would be really nice to say goodbye to you. And the lights just popped on, and it was like they were always sitting there at these specific points, and they could turn off and off. So we had some sort of communication going there, too.
Yeah, it sure sounds like. You know, I think UFOs are attracted to people who are into this kind of thing, and I also think that having out-of-body experiences kind of strengthens your telepathic and abilities, I guess, and they can respond to that. I don't know, though. It's very interesting, because I've had very, very similar experiences just like you're describing, so it's fascinating. Definitely fascinating. Well, we're kind of approaching the end of our hour. Tonight you've been listening to John Magnus, whose book Astral Projection and the Nature of Reality has just been released by Hampton Roads Publishing. Now, you have a website, which is your name, johnmagnus.com, johnmagnus.com. Now, people can also get this book on Amazon.com, right? Through the publisher's website?
It's all over. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Barnes & Noble, Borders, I think. Yeah, well, all the big places, I think.
Are you working on another book?
I thought I'd go into fiction this time, just to see what if that thrills me. But
right.
I haven't gotten really far. I just have some really interesting ideas, but I do want the book to communicate something, to have the reader learn something from the book, probably on the nature of reality, out of old habit.
Right.
So I find it really difficult to write fiction and still communicate something that people can learn from.
Right. I think fiction's a lot harder, actually.
It's easy to fall into the pure entertainment trap. I wouldn't be happy writing mere entertaining. I want it to be educational as well.
Well, it's been amazing talking with you. Is there anything else that we haven't covered? Any one last message you want to give our listeners about your book or astral projection?
Pitch my discussion board again. If you ever need some help getting out of body, just pop into my discussion board on my site, johnmagnus.com, and we'll see what we can do.
Oh, cool. I bet there's lots of people out there. Yeah, I recommend this book definitely to anyone who's trying to do this, because, I mean, it's not only very educational, it's really a gripping book and very profound. And I want to thank you, John, for coming on to the show. It's been great having you. You've been a wonderful guest.
Thank you for having me. I had a great time.
Oh, thank you. Me too. Well, that's our show tonight, UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. Our guest has been John Magnus, and we have been discussing his amazing book, Astral Projection and the Nature of Reality. So if you want to know the nature of reality and have out-of-body experiences, this is the book for you. I highly recommend it. I've read it twice already. So go out there and get it. And thank you for listening tonight. Next week, our guest is Ronnie McMullen, and we will be talking about, of course, UFOs and the paranormal. So until then, have a wonderful evening.